Hi everyone, this is Chef Robert Sevely with Flavor of Riverside over here at the cooking store up in Mission Grove. Today we're going to be talking about knives and knife skills. It's a really important trait to have in the kitchen. Safety is the number one rule. Last thing we want to do is go to the hospital when we're prepping out dinner. And so we teach a knife skills class here at the cooking store. We teach several. We do basic hands-on knife skills, we do butchery, and we do fruit and vegetable garnishing. So we're just going to kind of run you through some of this stuff today. Here on my cutting board, I have all the different knives that a culinary student needs in order to go to culinary school. And this is pretty much just a basic knife set that you need in your kitchen. First thing that I have here is a pair of kitchen shears. These are made by Measuremeister. All the knives are made by Measuremeister today. And these kitchen shears actually come apart. They've been number one on the market for the last 5 years. They're good for cutting herbs. I can still cut through chicken bones. And the main thing is I use these to open up all my packaging with. So anything that has to be open that's plastic or anything like that, I use these because it's going to save the rest of my knife blades. Then the first actual knife in the kit is called a paring knife. This is a dagger style paring knife because the tip is centered with the center of the knife. It's called a paring knife because we're going to actually pare with it, and that's where we pull back towards our thumb. This is a 3.5-inch blade. When we're talking about length of blade, we're talking about from heel to tip. The handle can be as long as it wants to be, but this is still going to be a 3.5-inch blade. All right, the next one in the kit is going to be a boning knife. Boning knives, you can see how on the handle, the unsharpened edge goes straight out from the handle, and then it arcs down and it hooks back out again. The hook back out right here by the bolster, this part of the knife is called the bolster, it acts like a guard because when boning things out, you know, they can be wet, slippery, very cold, and your hands can get a little bit numb. And so that acts like a guard so we don't slip over the top of the blade when applying pressure. A boning knife should be fairly rigid, shouldn't have a whole lot of flex to it, and so basically it's used almost like a crowbar, I like to say. We're utilizing about this much of the knife here. The rest of the knife is just to move things out of the way so we can continue to cut. Next one in the kit is some sort of serrated knife. We have to have some sort of serrated knife, and just a steak knife in your kit doesn't suffice. What we want is something that's at least like 8 inches long. This happens to be a 10-inch bread knife or serrated knife. This is a classic shape, where the unsharpened edge comes out and hooks down towards the sharpened edge. The only reason why I think it's possibly shaped this way, so you can be like 20 feet away, you can look at your knife and go, hey, there's my bread knife. So with that being said, you know, it does have a slight arc to the blade, but we can come straight down to the cutting board and we can saw. So this has been the shape of a bread knife for the last 500 years or so. There's lots of different styles of bread knives. This is another bread knife or serrated knife. And with this knife, you can see this is a 12-inch blade and we have a rounded tip on it. This one's actually classically called a baker's bread knife. Reason for that is not only can I cut bread, can I cut, you know, tomato slices really nice and thin, or anything that's like a little bit harder, like going through a pineapple skin or something like that, but I can also use this as an icing knife. I can use the scalloped edge of the blade as a texturing on like cakes along the sides for icing. And then a baker a lot of times will hold either end of the knife and they will mark a cake or a pie before they actually start cutting it. So they make sure they get plenty of pieces for all the guests. And then they'll utilize the thing and they'll hold either edge and they'll push down through the cake. Therefore, a rounded blade, he's not going to cut himself on it or poke himself, okay? The other type of serrated knife is called a deli knife or offset bread knife. This is offset, and these came along from sandwich shops and delis. And this is an 8-inch blade, but it's offset here at the handle, so my hand can come straight down to the cutting board, and my knuckles can clear underneath as that blade comes down. You will see these in all kinds of like really high-end delis, maybe something like Cantor's in LA or something like that. These will be the only knives that you'll see in that kitchen. All right, the next blade here is a slicer. This is a dagger-style slicer. There again, the knife point comes to the center of the blade, just like it was on the paring knife. And these knives should have quite a bit of flex to them, okay? And the reason why there's quite a bit of flex is I can actually, as I'm slicing my prime rib, my turkey, or anything like that, Thanksgiving, Christmas, I can actually add a little bit of flex to the knife, and I can get everything a little bit thinner. So this is the first knife also that has the dimples on it. Dimples have become pretty common on almost all knives nowadays. And, you know, it's for like three different reasons. First of all, the main reason is it breaks suction from the knife. So when you're slicing something, things like to stick to the blade. So it helps them fall off naturally. And then secondly, Measuremeister says that they can get the knife just a little bit sharper. And they're the inventors of the dimples. They're actually called colon shivs, but we just call them dimples here in the United States. And these go down, and they say that they can get them a little bit sharper. The third reason is they just look cool. And so, you know, looks do have a little bit to do with some of this stuff, especially when you're talking high quality knives like these ones that we're showing here today. And there again, we have quite a bit of flex. Also, we have the dagger point on this knife, so I can actually puncture. So like that turkey skin, or I might use this as a fillet knife, you know, for bigger fish like salmon and stuff like that to take it off the bone. And so I want something that can puncture. Let alone, we can have some sort of slicer like this. This is also very common. And they might even call this a baker slicer or something like that. There again, I can use this as an icing knife. But really where this comes into play is if you've ever been to a Sunday brunch, you've ever been to, you know, a Mother's Day brunch or anything like that, and you're going through a buffet line, and they're cutting prime rib or they're cutting turkey or something, they're utilizing a fork, and they're picking up the meat and they're placing it onto your plate. That is so, the rounded edge is so they don't have a sharp point pointed directly at you. It's just a little bit safer. So this is why we're utilizing this. You can see that it's totally blunt. It's not sharp or anything. This one also has quite a bit of flex to it, which is important. Now with slicers, I want to make sure that I get as long of a slicer as I possibly can. Now we don't want it 12 feet long or anything, but this is a 12 inch blade. So between 10 and 12. The reason for that is as I'm slicing, I want nice fluid cuts. If I have a short blade and I'm having to saw more, I end up with those stair steps all the way down my turkey or my beef or anything like that. Just keep that in mind as far as the length of the slicer. All right, then lastly, we have the chef's knife. The chef's knife is the knife that we see in all the horror movies, right? And it looks really intimidating and spooky and all that, but there's a reason why it's shaped like this. This is a 9-inch blade. You can see that we have the dimples on this blade. This is my own personal knife. Let me identify some other things that all these knives have in common. Here again, we already talked about the bolster. And then the piece of metal that goes up through the handle is called the tang. This is a fully tanged knife, which is very important. A lot of cheaper companies or more inexpensive companies, they'll only tang it about halfway. And what will eventually happen is that handle will break off or whatnot. These knives, these are Measuremeister again. It's a family-owned business. These are the main knives that we sell here at the cooking store. But they are all fully forged. When I'm talking about forged knives, I'm talking basically like medieval sword construction. So basically they pour the metal into a mold, the steel, which steel is a combination of iron and lead and some other elements and stuff. And then they take it and they start pounding it. Once they get it to the general shape, they trim it. Then from there, they start tempering. Tempering process is where we basically say the knife or the sword gets its soul. And that's where the hardness and the flexibility comes into the knife. And so these go through over 400 tempering processes. And the last item that we have here is called a sharpening steel. They call it a sharpening steel, but it does nothing of the sort. So sharpening, the definition of sharpening is basically to remove metal in order to create a new sharp edge. This does not remove metal. What this does is hone or true the knife. So next thing that we're going to really work on here is how do we keep our knives sharp? Because remember, without something like this, all those other knives that we showed aren't going to last very long. We really need to utilize the steel. It's very, very important. How often do I utilize it? Really, the general rule of thumb is that we're going to do it twice every time we use the knife. So we're going to pull our knife out of the block. We're going to hit it on the steel, and then we're going to start cutting. After we're all done, what we're going to do is we're going to take our knives, and remember, they never, ever, ever go in the dishwasher. We're going to walk over to the sink. We're going to wash them really clean, even if we use chicken. We're going to wash our hands. Then we're going to hit them on the steel, and we're going to put the knife back in the knife block. So a minimum of 2 times every time you utilize the knives. So what I'm going to do now is how I show my students is I tell them to do this straight up and down. Okay, and straight up and down, we're going to totally avoid any kind of cutting ourselves or any risk of the knife coming at us. Then I'm going to kind of get hunched over here, and I'm going to get down level with the steel itself. Then I'm going to hold the knife, and we're going to hold the knife the same way all the time, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. And then we're going to go from the heel to the tip, heel to the tip, heel to the tip. Now notice, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing this. I'm doing this together, together, together. Also notice, it's not in my wrist, okay? It's in my entire arm. What my wrist is doing is it's holding the angle of the knife. So it's holding it here, then it's holding it here. Holding it here, holding it here. Back and forth. What's most important about this is that we do it the same every single time. Every single time. Now, most knives that you're going to run into, the knife edge here is cut at 20 degrees. Messermeister and a lot of Asian knives are cut at 15. So we want the knife up against the steel between 15 and 20. Okay? So in the arm, the wrist is holding firm. So as I drag through, I maintain that 20 degree, 15 degree angle all the way through the blade. Now, I know a lot of you are going to hold this up like you see chefs doing on the Food Network and stuff. So what's the most important thing is if you have a steel at home, it absolutely has to have a guard. This is the guard to the steel right here. If it doesn't have one of these, this thing can be very, very dangerous, and it can send you to the hospital. So I'm going to butt my thumb up against that guard. I'm going to butt my index finger up against the guard and then wrap my other 3 fingers around. I'm going to hold it out in front of me, and then just like we've been doing, we're going to strike from heel to tip, 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 heel to tip. Okay? Generally about 5 times a side. Now, the other thing is how much pressure do I add? Well, remember, don't think of this thing as like sandpaper. We're not trying to remove metal. All we're trying to do is hone the knife. So it's just the weight of the knife, okay? Now, if I'm applying too much pressure, what I'm going to hear is this, okay? And what I'm doing is I might be doing fine on the rest of the edge, but I'm reshaping and reforming the tip. So make sure that you're not what we call flicking the tip off of the steel, okay? Just the weight of the knife. Okay, so let's talk about how we're gonna hold the knife. I'm gonna set this aside. And how we're gonna hold the knife is here again, here's the bolster of the knife. What we're gonna do is we're gonna take our thumb and butt it up against the bolster. On the other side, we're going to take our index finger and butt that up against the bolster. Then we're going to wrap our other 3 fingers around. Notice what my index finger does. It tucks up onto the blade. And yes, we are actually holding the blade right at the bolster, and then we're wrapping our other 3 fingers around. The reason why we actually physically hold the blade is, for one, it makes the blade an extension of our hand. Two, I'm going to be in control of the knife going in this direction, and then also going in this direction when I hold the actual blade. With holding the handle, this can actually rotate in my hand. So we pinch and we hold the blade. There's a reason why this knife is shaped like this. The main reason is if you tell yourself the knife never leaves the cutting board, you'll understand how to utilize this thing. So I'm going to kind of turn sideways so the camera can see what I'm doing. But basically what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be lifting up the knife, drawing back on the tip, going down forward and cutting. Drawing back, down forward and cut. This is the motion that we wanted to use. Notice how it kind of looks like a locomotive, okay? So we're just utilizing the knife. That's why this knife blade is arced up and through the blade, and that's why it's nice and long, and then the tall heel here is so our knuckles will clear. Now the scary part to this whole thing. The scariest part to the whole thing, and I'll bring out a carrot here, is our left hand. For those lefties out there, obviously it's going to be your right hand, but it's opposite hand that the knife is holding. This knife is over here completely safe, just going along, moving the knife. This is the hand that's in all the trouble. The other way that I like to put it is if I take this potato here, with a sweet potato, I can actually place this sweet potato in my hand, and that is the shape that I want. I want all the other fingers behind, but I want this basic little shape in there. So then if I take this shape and I come down on top of the carrot and I stay up on top of my fingertips, what you've noticed is I have my fingertips tucked under. I've created a vertical plane between my first and my second knuckle, and that's right where the knife's going to be riding, okay? Then I'm up on my fingertips, so I draw back, and it's a little bit like I'm trying to scrape the skin off the carrot with my nails, but I'm not applying pressure, okay? I want to stay on my fingertips. I do not want to go down on my palm. If I go down on my palm, first of all, I've taken out the angle. Second of all, I'm actually putting some body weight into the thing. Then it's too hard for me to escape. When I'm on my fingertips, if I get myself into trouble, I can escape pretty quickly. Now, this is what we're basically going to be doing. We're going to be cutting through here, and these are called carrot coins. And you can see how I'm just rolling right through the carrot. I want you guys also to notice that the knife is moving across the cutting board. I'm not pushing the carrot into the knife. The knife rolls across the cutting board. Okay? So, this is carrot coins. A lot of times these coins, they'll refer to them in a recipe. They'll say one coin of ginger is probably the most common one. A coin is a basic measurement. So it's about a quarter inch, and then it's about the size of a quarter. If I was to chop this up, I'd have right about a tablespoon of carrot or of ginger. Okay, now we're going to show batonnets. Batonnets is a French term for basically French fry cut. I decided to use a sweet potato so it'd show up really good on camera. Now, we just did carrot rounds and carrot coins and carrot on the bias, which are all round items. Most of the time, we're going to be cutting things into little squares. So the first cut that we're going to want to do is we're going to want to cut a flat side. That flat side is much less dangerous here than it is there, okay? So cut that flat side, and then what we want to do is we want to box this potato up, like so. Then from here, we're going to cut planks, quarter inch planks. Once we have the quarter inch planks, then we're going to lay these out. And here's another rule of thumb, is sometimes less is more. So instead of stacking these all on top of each other, I'm going to spread them out and just realize where those cuts are. Now I'm going to rock back through this. And then I'm cutting batonnets, it's called. There, so now I have my batonnets. From here, I can cut this into what's called small dice. With the small dice, I'll go ahead and I'll move these out in lengthwise so my knife can go across them instead of having them out widthwise. Because I still want to use that same hand on my left hand all the way across versus having to hold them like so. So then I'm going to rock through these, and I'm going to cut these into dice. All the way through, moving all the way across the cutting board. Now I can use these as hash browns. I can put them into a soup. They can go into lots and lots of different things. And depending on the vegetable, we can do this with zucchini, all different types of vegetables, different squashes and stuff like that as well. All right, next, we're going to julienne bell pepper. And how we want to do this bell pepper is first we want to cut the top off. Then we want to cut the bottom off. You can see how all the veins and all the seeds are carried in here. Then we're just going to go along, and we're going to go along the veins, and we're just going to pull off the flesh. What we're left with is a nice little package of seeds and the veins. This is the part of the pepper that gives everybody indigestion if they're not very fond of peppers. So we're going to take this stuff and get rid of it. Then we're going to line the peppers back up, skin side down. The skin is the hardest part for the knife to go through. So make sure it's the last part. If it was skin side up, what it would generally do if my hands were the skin is it would crush the flesh underneath, and then it's going to cut the skin. So always go skin side down whenever doing anything. Tomatoes, bell peppers, possibly even eggplant or something like that. Then we're going to rock through this really nice. And I'm not going to quite do this whole pepper, but you guys can see that I have a really nice julienne, okay, which is about an eighth inch cut is julienne. Eighth inch by like 2 or 3 inches. Let's do corn. With corn, we have the husk on the outside. First thing is we want to husk it. Get rid of that. Then all the little hairs on here, this is called corn silk. What I like to do is like kind of Indian burn it like you used to do to your little sister. Okay? And that's going to get all those off of there. Then what I do is I bring out a towel, side towel, nice clean side towel. And then I'm going to go straight up and down on this. And what this allows, the corn kernels are going to hit the towel and stop. It's almost like golf a little bit when you hit the green. All the little corn kernels basically come out and stop. Now, I can fit about 15 ears of corn onto one towel. From here, I can pick this up and I can go wherever I need to go with it. Next thing that we have is we have an onion, okay? This is probably one of the trickiest things that most people think about cutting. It's first of all, how do we go about getting this thing done? Well, first of all, we have the root and we have the stem. I'm going to cut both of these off and I'm still going to refer to them. So I'm going to just barely nip off the root. You can see the circle there still of the root still in there holding together all the layers. Then I'm going to cut off the stem end. Then I'm going to go straight through the root and I'm going to pick up and I'm going to peel. Just grab a layer and peel. I always cut my onions in half first before I peel them because peeling them whole just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's pretty much a lot easier if I don't. Now, what we want to do is we want to dice this onion up. Okay, and what I do is I bring it all the way to the edge of the cutting board so my hand can be off the edge of the cutting board. Then, using a sweeping motion, I'm going to start at the heel of my knife and I'm going to cut in. And I'm not going to go all the way through the back. Then I'm going to do another cut all the way in, not going through the back, again, again, and again. Then I'm going to spin the knife to where the root's out and away from me. And I'm going to use just the knife tip, not going all the way through the back, going just straight down through the onion. Now, I'll spin the onion one more time to where the root's now back on my left side. And then all I simply have to do is just rock through the onion. And I end up with a nice, perfectly diced onion. Okay, for the avocado, first thing I want to identify here is the more bumpy the avocado is, the better the avocado. This is telling me, the bumps are telling me it's a Haas avocado. Versus a bacon are very smooth, the bacon avocados. Haas tends to have more fat in it, so more flavor. We're going to take our knife, and we're going to insert it into the avocado all the way to the seed. Then we're going to spin it around the seed. Then we can twist it open, and then there's the seed. Take our knife and give the seed a tap and twist. Now, the important part is, how do we get the seed off the knife? What we don't want to do is reach up here and grab it. This is very dangerous. Take a bowl. You generally need a bowl for the avocados to go into anyways. So then just kind of bump it up away from you, and the seed's going to fall right in. We can now take the seed and get rid of it, and then we can deal with our avocado. Now, I want to show you guys how to fan an avocado so it's real pretty for the top of a salad. I'm going to take a nice big soup spoon here, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to pull this avocado out along the skin. I've actually used the skins before, and you can freeze them, and you can put salads back inside the skin. It looks really pretty. It's a good way to utilize it. Then I'm going to take the avocado like so, and then I figured this out early on in my career, that if I held the knife straight up and down, and I drew a line through it, that basically the avocado would stay right there. If I rocked my knife through the avocado, all the slices are going to stick. So I'm going to go straight up and down, and I'm going to just draw a line right through the avocado. Just like that. Then we're going to take the avocado, and we can fan it. Now I can take my knife, and I can pick it up, and I can move it over to a Cobb salad or on top and garnish just about anything, and it looks nice and beautiful. Okay, we're going to move this off to the side. And the last thing I want to show you guys is mincing. This is parsley. It works with cilantro. This is flat leaf Italian parsley. It also works with the curly parsley. What I want to do is I want to keep the twist on it, or the rubber band. Okay, I want to wash it off in the sink and get all the sand off, and then I want to dry it off as best I can. Holding the stems, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my knife, and I'm going to shave. I'm going to shave and shave, okay? This is going to pull all my leaves off. You guys at home can feel free to sit here and do this all day long if you want to. I don't have that kind of time. So now I'm going to take this, and I'm going to walk back through it, and I'm going to get off any big stems that I might have. And I'm not really too worried about it. Then I'm going to take all my parsley, and I'm going to bring it together. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be holding my hand flat against the top of the knife. Don't pinch, because your fingers can fall beneath the blade. You want to hold our hand flat. I'm still holding the knife the same. My two fingers become like a swivel. And I'm going to go straight up and down. Now, let me break this down a minute, and then I'll show you what I'm doing. Okay. What I'm doing is I'm coming straight up and down, okay? And every time I come up, I push. So I'm pushing as the knife comes up. What I'm not doing is this, okay? Notice how I just fan it out. What I want is I want a nice straight line up and away from me. And I want to come straight up and down. And I want to push. Take it from top to bottom, gather it together, give it a spin, and then keep going. All right, guys. Our parsley's all minced up. And this is our last knife skills for the day. I hope you guys enjoyed everything that we taught you today. And I want to leave you with one thing. It's how this is all going to work, how this is all going to come together. It's first, it's going to come safety. Second, it's going to come accuracy. Third, it's going to come your speed. If you try to go in any other order than that, you're going to hurt yourself. So I hope you guys have fun. I hope you guys learned a bunch. And this is Robert Sevely over here at the cooking store in the Flavor of Riverside saying, happy cooking.
The Cooking Store.
What is the cooking store?
The tools you need. The classes you want. The advice you can trust.
The Cooking Store.
The Cooking Store. Everything you need for better food. Find us in the Mission Grove Shopping Center or visit us at thecookingstore.com.